This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmann Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. What did Sean Miller know? If you have an assistant coach for that many years, you don't know anything? Look, this shoe story and this is an FBI investigation. I'm just getting right into today's show because this is what most everybody's talking about. We're going to go some different directions as we always do. Welcome on in. Thanks for being with us. The Diamondbacks front and center, J.D. Martinez, 6 RBI and a grand slam last night. I would not want to play the Diamondbacks. This is going to sound very Homer-esque. This will sound very 602, 480, or 623. If I'm the rest of Major League Baseball, I would not want to play the Arizona Diamondbacks here in the postseason because they are playing their best baseball now. Meantime, Yasiel Puig is having his little fits, and if you can't get along with Dave Roberts, who are you going to get along with? So we've got Pedro coming up. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. He is in Bristol at ESPN right there in the studios, and he'll be joining us at 10:20 to talk about just how feared are the Diamondbacks. I think it's a very fair question to ask as they're playing their best baseball of the season, and who does he believe the wild card is going to be, and all things around Major League Baseball in the playoffs with Pedro Gomez at 10:20. Stuart Mandel will join us. Stuart, formerly at SI, formerly at Fox, now with The Athletic. And their national college football writer and columnist. So we'll have Stuart with us on Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez and what he sees so far, the Heisman Trophy and all that. That's at 10:50. Dan Marley is going to be with us at 11 o'clock today. Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University Athletics. Appreciate the partnership with GCU. And this week it will be Dan Marley, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Obviously is what happened yesterday in Tucson with the U of A. What has happened around the college landscape just today with Rick Pitino, Oklahoma State, Auburn, all things on the college basketball front. And also Dan starts practice this Friday with his team. But you got to address this. You got to talk about it. And we'll do so with Dan Marley. That comes up at 11. At 11:15, it is our Friday night 360 AZ preview show with Jordan Hamm and Haley Stasiak. Every Wednesday, guys, at 11:15, we just turn it over on the high school front. High school football is a big deal in our state, and Haley and Jordan do a terrific job. Great guests, great content, great chemistry between those two. We started this show 5 weeks ago. Have not made much big deal about it, but I think it's getting to that point where it sounds really good and good content. So that comes up at 11:15. So busy, busy show, but the story today, I could go very easily over to the Diamondbacks, but Rick Pitino got blown out this morning. Rick Pitino gets blown out at Louisville, and their AD gets blown out as well. 7 weeks after the NCAA, I'm reading this now from, this is a story put up by Ian O'Connor, one of the better writers that I've read and consumed through the years. 7 weeks after the NCAA put Louisville on probation for a sex for pay scheme run by a Pitino assistant, FBI agents secretly videotaped a July meeting in a Las Vegas hotel room that involved another Pitino assistant discussing an Adidas-backed plan to funnel money to the family of a class of 2019 recruit who would then agree to sign with Adidas-sponsored Louisville. After the Pitino assistant left the room, according to federal documents, a former sports agent and the director of an Adidas AAU program continued talking with an undercover agent and a cooperating federal witness about a $100,000 payoff to the family of a Louisville recruit. A lot of this stuff, to me, and Eric and I talked about it yesterday, we're not stunned by this. We're not shocked by this. I'm in the world of AAU basketball again as a parent. It's very interesting given what I do as a profession where I look around and I'm like, okay, I don't recognize any of these people that are here and they got an awful lot of cell phones and they're on the cell phones an awful lot and they're making the bump in recruiting terms and even agent running terms, because I've had agents fill me in on this, is they just bump into you. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Sessmann. It's so good. Hey, your son's really, we should talk. It's called the bump. Now, it's a violation. It's just common courtesy. Oh, I'm so sorry I ran into you, Mrs. Smith. It's Mrs. Smith, right? Which one's your son? Oh, the one over there that's 7 feet two, that's averaging 38 and dunked all over the place, and he's nine. Okay. Yeah, he's not bad. It's so nice to meet you. Hey, if you ever need something. When I was younger and got into this racket, there was an assistant coach that taught me a lot about the art of recruiting. It's a well-known name. I'm not going to throw it out here on the air, but I think it's kind of fun now to look back on it. And he took me recruiting a couple times, and he taught me the art of the bump. He said, I'm going to go bump somebody. I got it. And he would tell me very simply, I'm going to go recruit tonight. Come with me. You can't say what's going on. And so I didn't. I wanted to learn and see the best of the best. I know there was nothing illegal about money and all that stuff, but the guy would park in a space that basically was by a fire hydrant right in front of the school because he wasn't going to be there very long. He would tell me that you need to make eye contact with the parents as soon as you walk in. You need to make eye contact with the head coach because he knows that I'm going to be there, and he's telling the family that I'm going to be there. And you're going to watch for about 4 or 5 minutes tops. If you can bump into a parent and say hello to them, you'll bump into the parent, say hello to them, and you move on. You get in the car and you go to the next game. We did that for three gyms on the road. This was not in a home city. This was on the road. It was very interesting to me, very informative, just see how it all went down. And this person told me, so that guy over there, he's with this school. That guy over there is with this school. That guy over there, he's a runner, and they're looking at some high-end players. Runner is somebody for an agent. So, I took all this in, and I guess at a very early age, just looked at it and said, really? Okay. So now I go to games, and I'm still a fan of going to high school games. It's what we do here on our site. A big part of it is on the high school end and on the college end and on the pro end. But on the high school end, when you hear about somebody at a very early age, you want to go see them. When Marvin Bagley was on the scene, burst on the scene at Corona del Sol, there was a lot of riffraff that was showing up at Corona del Sol games. There's no other way to put it. Now, I don't know if there's anything there that was under the table. I don't know. I wasn't looking at it from that perspective. It was just like, okay, I've seen this before. I need to go take a shower after I'm done at some of these games. And the same thing happens in AAU ball. Some very good AAU coaches. There's some very good coaching that goes on. There's also some teams that roll in, and it's pretty clear what's going on. It's kind of a sketch deal, I think, is the only way to put it. So when this story came out yesterday morning, the big blaring bombshell headline to me was, and still is, the University of Arizona. Of course, the University of Arizona fan, oh, you just have it in for us. No, let's just be clear about this, okay? FBI, this isn't NCAA. This isn't Larry Scott. Like, whatever Larry Scott says, who cares? It's FBI. Back to the story. Rick Pitino said he was shocked to learn of the latest allegation, just as he was shocked to learn that his former staffer, Andrew McGee, was running strippers into the campus dorm, paid for, and so on and so forth within the Louisville system. So this morning, the president at Louisville said, well, we've had quite enough here. So Rick Pitino is thrown out. The AD is thrown out. I don't know if Louisville's storied program is going to be put on the probation. Some are suggesting today put it on death penalty, just get rid of it. It's SMU football all over again. Let's clean it up. Let's bring it closer now to our great state. So what I know is only what I've read outside of talking to a few media people whose opinions I trust. Sean Miller, today was supposed to be U of A's media day. Sean Miller was going to talk. We're very excited. We're so excited. We just have to be humble. We have to be hungry. We have to remember all the nonsense cliches that you're going to get on media day. But instead, once this story came out, the U of A canceled today. And Sean Miller's main guy, Book Richardson, is now facing 60 years in prison if convicted on this bribery scandal. So you have corruption, you have bribery, you have fraud, you have conspiracy, all going on around the University of Arizona Wildcat basketball program. And more importantly than all of that, you have the FBI. And on top of that, Adidas is right in the middle of all of this. And so for Sean Miller's assistant, who's been with him 9 years in Tucson, 11 years total, for Sean Miller, when in fact he does speak, first of all, he will have been coached up and lawyered up like no one's ever been coached up and lawyered up in their lives. And when he's coached up and all that from media relations people, PR executives and all that, how to try to dance and dodge, the question that needs to be asked is, Coach, yeah, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, did you have any knowledge that any of this went on with Book Richardson while he was on your staff? And he'll say, no, I'm shocked. And I will say, well, how long did you know Coach Richardson? Well, 11 years. We've been together an awfully long time. I'm absolutely stunned by this. As the head coach of the program, should you have known better? Should you have known what was going on? Should you have known how these players were being recruited? And, you know, eventually he'll get around to, I am the captain of the ship, borrowing a phrase from a coach that was sitting right here about 4 months ago, who's no longer coaching. And the FBI may, in fact, have more to it than what is even out there right now. So I'm going to get more into this as the show moves on. Pedro is next from Bristol. We'll turn our attention over to the Diamondbacks with the great Pedro Gomez, Diamondbacks postseason on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now we switch gears over to the Diamondbacks, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show, Brad Sussmat Football AZ, 16 times a week. Now, though, we focus on the hometown nine. I said off the top, I would not think that any team in the National League would want to be playing the Diamondbacks right now as well as they're playing. ESPN's baseball analyst, insider, Valley resident Pedro Gomez joins us now from Bristol. Am I right on that or am I overstating it?
There might be a little bit of overstatement, but they are they're certainly a dangerous club. But the thing is, Brad, with a one-game wildcard playoff, no matter who they play, whether it's the Rockies, the Brewers, the Cardinals, it doesn't matter who. You know, in a one-game playoff, anything can happen. A ball can hit the chalk and be fair or foul, depending on, you know, what the opponent would need. And all of a sudden, two runs could score, and things could, you know, just go sideways. It's really difficult when everything is on one game. I mean, your whole season could literally go away because of a bad call, because of a ball hitting chalk or not hitting chalk. You know, it's really, really difficult. But, I mean, if things go according to plan, Zach Greinke pitches a good game in the wild card game, all of a sudden, if you get into a 3 out of 5, that's where you can breathe a little bit, even if it is against the Dodgers, who have the best record in the National League. You know, they're very familiar with the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And they played them 19 times during the regular season, played them during the Cactus League season, and we know what happened the last 6 times out against them. They won the season series, number one, and they swept them both at Chase Field and at Dodger Stadium. So there's certainly no fear factor involved. You just got to get past that one game.
Okay, so let's go through it step by step. Who do you think they're going to play? Do you think Colorado hangs on? The Brewers are playing a bad Reds team. Selfishly, I'd love to see Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy back here rather than seeing Colorado. But do you think it'll be the Rockies?
You know, it should be the Rockies. Look, Buddy Black, wherever he's been,
good manager.
San Diego, now Denver. His clubs play well for him.
Yep.
So I would suspect that it will be the Rockies, and that offense is a very scary offense to pitch against, even if you are an elite-level pitcher like a Zach Greinke. So it should be a good game. And again, you know, very familiar National League West clubs. I think the Diamondbacks would be better off playing either the Brewers or the Cardinals because there is no familiarity. But if it is the Rockies, I think it's going to be a good game.
Okay, then let's go over to the Dodgers. So there's an issue going on, and the issue is by the name of Yasiel Puig. If I'm to believe everything that I'm reading, and Dave...
That's a five-year problem.
Right. Okay, so Dave Roberts is as good a guy and as much-loved manager as there is out there in baseball. And Puig has been on his best behavior until the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. He's been suspended now. Not suspended, I shouldn't say. He's been taken out of the lineup.
Benched.
Yeah, he's been benched. He's been benched twice now, is it, in the last week by Dave Roberts. What's going on?
You know, the players that have been with the Dodgers for a few years, they know this headache. They know that Puig can be an insubordinate. Can just be on his own track, so to speak, and not care for the team. He's going to do what he wants to do. And boy, talk about the worst possible time for that to rear its head.
Yes.
And you know what? We don't know, though, Brad. Maybe it's been going on, and Roberts finally said enough is enough.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen, though. We're going to know how serious it is because the Dodgers have to turn in their 25-man playoff roster for the NLDS next week. That's when we're going to know how serious it is. If it's truly a serious problem, I think Dave Roberts is going to tell the front office, I don't even want him on the roster.
Mm.
Let's take him off.
Mm.
And that may be the best thing the Dodgers could do because you really don't want that problem to stick out in a 3-out-of-5-game series. Now, they don't have to turn in their roster as early as the D-backs, because the D-backs will be playing in the wild card game.
Right.
But that's where I think we're truly going to know how serious this problem is.
Okay, and the Dodgers, Pedro, have not played especially well here for about 6-7 weeks. Is it injury to Seager? Is Turner not 100%? Bellinger's come back to earth a little bit. What do you see out of the Dodgers? Are they as formidable? And we know that Kershaw in October, it's not a given with Kershaw in October.
Yeah, although last October he did pitch fairly well.
Yeah.
So that may be erasing itself. You know what? That I remember a long time ago a scout telling me, you win what you're supposed to win. And they were on pace to win about 115, 116 games.
Right.
Well, they're not a 115-win team. So they're going to win about what they were supposed to win, which is still over 100 games. And that's a great season. Clubs get to hit reset once you get to the postseason. I honestly don't think the Dodgers are in as big a problem or trouble as maybe their fans do. Their fans, you know, when you're a fan of a club, you always see the glass half empty.
Sure.
And September was not a good month for the Dodgers. Starting in late August, it was not a good stretch, like you said, a good 6+ weeks. You know, I mean, Brad, we remember the Yankees limping into the postseason. I think it was in 99 where they lost like 12 of their last 13 games.
Right.
And they just went on a roll and won it all again. So I don't know that you should put that much into this stretch.
Okay, can you put let's circle back to the hometown nine then. Can you put what J.D. Martinez is doing here in September?
Oh.
Okay, into October. Can you... My point is, it does matter how you're playing in some situations coming into the postseason. It's not across the board that teams...
Wise, yeah.
Sure, sure. I mean, when I'd say nobody would want to play them, you tell me a hotter hitter over the last month than J.D. Martinez that the Diamondbacks are going to be facing opposite them. Charlie Blackman's cooled off up in Colorado. I don't think the Dodgers, Bellinger certainly has cooled off. I mean, J.D. Martinez, Pedro, is as good as anybody right now.
I can't argue, and I won't argue that point because you're right. J.D. Martinez is the hottest hitter heading into October of all the playoff teams. So if you're going to have that guy, it's better to have him on your team, no doubt about it. And, boy, every week the money goes up for him. Talk about timing. You know, he's a free agent after the end of the World Series, and his timing has been impeccable. And he is, unfortunately, he may be pricing himself out of Arizona.
Really?
Just because the price is going to be so enormous.
What's enormous? What's enormous, Pedro? What will be enormous in Arizona?
I think we're talking at least 130, 40 million.
And you've got Paul Goldschmidt sitting over there, who's going to be looking at that number two.
Don't forget, you're also paying Yasmani Tomas.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true. And you have Greinke's contract, right? So,
and those are, yeah, the Tomas. Look, if Tomas wasn't on the books, you might be able to squeeze it through. If you're Ken Kendrick, who we know has been in the past willing to say, you know what, I signed the checks, go ahead, give it to him. But with Tomas sitting on the books at about, I want to say 16 or 17 a year, that may prohibit them from getting him. And, you know, look, the first thing fans are going to say is, oh, they can trade him. No one is going to take on that contract. No one.
Not unless
the Diamondbacks would have to pay about 80% of it.
Yeah, they'd have to pay about 80% of it.
More.
And the Diamondbacks would have to give them some assets that they would not want to trade.
Yeah.
Meaning, we're going to give you some prospects. Yeah, we're going to give you, I mean, this wouldn't happen, but it'd be like, yeah, Archie Bradley and Yasmani Tomas are going to go here so we can get them off our books. That's not happening. But
no.
Or our top two prospects within the organization to take this contract because this guy can't play for us. And that's where it was really come down to, unless they pay it off. So you're thinking $25 million a year for J.D. Martinez, thereabouts.
I'm thinking at least $20 million a year.
Wow.
And I'm thinking at least 20.
And then Goldschmidt would have to be 20, 25?
Yeah, somewhere in the same type neighborhood.
Yeah. All right.
That's a big contract that a big player who has performed here for years. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for him to return here. There's other clubs out there that have a lot of money sitting on their, you know, cleared of their books. And I'm talking about clubs that could go after him. A club like the Mets, a club like the Phillies,
Red Sox,
the Giants. The Red Sox, they're kind of right up against the threshold, the tax threshold. I'm not sure they would, but there's other clubs that definitely could. Yankees, Mets, Phillies, yeah. Giants, clubs that could afford him.
Are you going to be at the game here, or are they sending you elsewhere?
No, I will be at downtown Phoenix on Wednesday.
There you go. I'll
leave from today.
I'll see you there. Stay well. Get better.
Absolutely. All right, Brad.
See ya. There's Pedro Gomez. Always good to catch up with Pedro, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. He joins us semi-regularly here during the regular season. I'm going to circle back on some of the stuff around U of A on the other side. It's really nice to not sit here and talk about backup left tackles for the Cardinals. It really is, because there's just so many other things that are going on that are far more interesting. And we'll get some college football with Stuart Mandel, Dan Marley in about 20 minutes, Friday Night 360 AZ crew coming up at 11:15. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's talk college football now for a couple of minutes. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. 16 airings a week, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Stuart Mandel, The Athletic, college football editor-in-chief, and, of course, one of the leading voices in college football. We've had Stuart on the show before. He co-hosts The Audible with Bruce Feldman. You can get it on iTunes. I would recommend that every week as part of your podcasting habits. None better than Stuart to join us and to talk about this new venture first and foremost. We'll get into Todd Graham. We'll get into Rich Rod and all that stuff in a minute. But The Athletic, explain to the listener, the consumer, what it is you decided to do and how it's working out and how people can get involved, Stuart.
Sure. Well, The Athletic is a network of subscription sports sites that is devoted entirely to written sports content. No autoplay videos, no pop-up ads. No listicles. It's like an old-fashioned sports section. And my part of it is the All-American, which is our national college football site. It's less than $4 a month. People have been very enthusiastic about it so far. We've got a team of writers from around the country. It's not just myself. People like Chantel Jennings, who covered the Pac-12 for ESPN.com, Nicole Auerbach, who used to be at USA Today, Max Olson from ESPN.com as well. So, we're pumping out stories right now. A lot of interesting storylines from the season so far.
And if people want to get involved in it and subscribe to it, how would they do it, Stuart?
You go to theathletic.com/All-American, or you can download The Athletic's app on the phone. It's a fantastic app, a great reading experience. And that one I point out because it gets you 5 free articles to try out.
Oh, that's really cool. Really cool. And I will just say that the long form and the deep dives that Stuart and the staff are doing, it's well worth it. This isn't just like a couple of headlines here. It's really diving into things. Stuart Mandel with us for a couple of minutes here on the show. So if you look at Arizona State, and we'll get to U of A in a second, let's just talk, where is Todd Graham on hot seats across the country from your view? And what about their win over Oregon the other night? Does that take the heat down at all?
Well, he definitely needed that win. That definitely helped regain some confidence. Also, you know, Texas Tech, I think, is turning out to be better than people expected. So not really much shame in that. But obviously, he's got a ways to go to get off that hot seat. The good news is that division, you know, it's very manageable. Obviously, USC is the class of the division. Utah's playing very well. But, you know, beyond that, UCLA is a mess. Obviously, the other school in Arizona is not striking fear in people right now. So Colorado, you know, not a great showing against Washington at home the other day. So I definitely think he's got a chance to work out of it.
What is it about this program at Arizona State, Stuart, the national view, that they have not been to a Rose Bowl in 20 years since Jake Plummer? What is it that's going on out here that needs to change?
You guys tell me. You know, it's always a mystery to us nationally, and I've certainly covered many games there over the years. And you know, oftentimes to a you know, 2/3 at best full stadium. I remember covering Oregon there on a Thursday night. Chip Kelly was still there, and people were saying, "Oh, this is the biggest home game in I don't think they were saying school history, the biggest home game in a long time." And there were a lot of empty seats there, so you know, I don't think that goes over well with recruits. There's got to feel like there's an excitement and a commitment to football, but at the same time, they're in a location where there should be, you know, great access to football talent. So they're always talked about as one of the sleeping giants around the country.
Go down I-10 then to Tucson, the view of Rich Rod and his situation.
I mean, it's been an erosion since that great 2014 season, making it to the Pac-12 championship game, that huge win over Oregon on a Thursday night. You know, it's trended in the wrong direction ever since. And you know, I know there's been some – he shook up the staff last season. He's tried to upgrade recruiting. Quarterback has been seemingly in a state of flux for a few years now. Brandon Dawkins, obviously, the guy now. So I think it's an uphill challenge. You know, Rich Rod has won at a high level before, and I certainly thought at the time it was a good hire for Arizona. And at one point, it seemed like he had achieved that. But now Greg Byrne's not there anymore. That was the guy who hired him. So, you know, I think he's up against it right now.
In both those jobs, Stuart, if in fact, and I'm sitting here of the opinion both will come open by the end of this year, are those desirable jobs? If you look across the landscape nationally, there feels like there could be some much bigger jobs that come open. But are Arizona State and Arizona in a space of they tried the established guy in Rich? And even Todd, to a lesser extent, though he jumped from job to job, he had a coaching background. Is this a place where the coordinator needs to make that next step? Is this one of those jobs?
I think they're two different jobs. You know, like I said, the view of ASU as a sleeping giant is held throughout that coaching profession. So that makes that job a little more appealing than Arizona's. And also, of course, there is a semi-recent history of playing at a very high level of the Jake Plummer team. Dennis Erickson had a team there that, you know, got very high in the polls. So I think the guy that everybody's going to be waiting on is Chip Kelly. And what job is he going to take if that job does come open? You know, some people assume he's going to go to whatever the most prestigious job is that comes open. And there's going to be a lot of them in the SEC this season. Other people feel like he's going to want to go back to his comfort zone in the Pac-12, which would make that a possibility. But nobody can predict what he's going to do. If he's not in the picture, then it's not as obvious to me. But certainly, like you said, getting one of those rising coordinators or, you know, one of the many good coaches out there who are at the Group of Five level, including a guy who came from there, Mike Norvell.
Yep. No, that's good. That's a good call. Scott Frost's name has been thrown around a little bit out here, too. Before I let you go, if you were to look across the country, what are the couple storylines to you that are most interesting 5 weeks into the season?
Looking around the country, you know, I think we've had an emergence, maybe a little bit of clarity in the Heisman race. Saquon Barkley has emerged from Penn State as a guy who everybody's in love with right now. He's leading every Heisman poll, but a week earlier, everybody was in love with Baker Mayfield, and I think he's still up there, obviously, in the mix as well. You know, I think there hasn't been a huge upheaval at the top of the polls. Alabama, Clemson, those teams are still there. Ohio State, you know, I think that'll be one of the more intriguing things to watch going forward. Ohio State has a very high-profile loss in week two, and everybody forgets about them. But I think that race between Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan in one division, with everybody thinking one of those teams could end up in the playoff, is going to be very intriguing going forward. And then I guess the other thing I would say is in the SEC, the drama there is not really on the field. You know, it looks like Georgia, Alabama are head and shoulders above everybody else, and Alabama obviously the team that Georgia's chasing. But now you've got all these coaches who are fighting for their jobs in that conference. There could be as many as 4 or 5, maybe even 6 new coaches in that conference next year, depending on who gets this thing turned around and who doesn't.
Interesting stuff. Stuart, appreciate the time and insight as always. Good luck with The Athletic. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's Stuart Mandel with us. You can find his content, The All-American, at The Athletic, and check it out there. And also, co-host of The Audible with Bruce Feldman. Great content every week. You can find that on iTunes or places where you get your podcast. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So I'm going to circle back in a couple of minutes on what's going on today on the college basketball front, because there is some conflicting information that has come out. I've got ESPN on one side saying Rick Pitino has been fired. On the other side, there's several outlets saying he has now been just suspended. So we have to work through that. And then there's some stuff with U of A as well. But before we get to that, and Dan Marley's on board with Talk to the Lopes in 20 minutes. We'll talk with Dan Marley about the opening of his team for workouts this Friday, what he likes about his team, what concerns does he have. Everything that we do, Talk to the Lopes, is every Wednesday here on Sports 360 AZ. And then at 11:15, it is Jordan Hamm and Haley Stasiak with the Friday Night 360 AZ show. And speaking of that, Jordan jumps in here for a couple of moments to talk about what do you got going.
We will have South Point Catholic head coach Dennis Binet on. They have a big game against Cienega, probably the biggest game down in Tucson all year. And then we also have AIA Executive Director David Hines join us to look at some big picture about kind of what's been going on with the football season, but with athletics in Arizona as well.
All right, good stuff. We'll check with you in a little bit. It's Jordan Hamm coming on in, the Friday Night 360 AZ crew. That comes up at 11:15. And then if you're out on a game on Friday nights, of course, you can hashtag Friday Night 360 AZ. See you in a bit.
Always.
Good stuff there with Jordan Hamm. All right, so let's switch back over here. What are the ramifications of all of this? Okay, so it's the FBI. It's 24 hours since the story has broke. Everybody wants to do the gloom and doom that the program is going to cease, or that this is the darkest day in the history of the U of A, and it may well be. I can't think of another day in Arizona sports history. I was texting with someone yesterday about this. I remember exactly where I was when the point shaving scandal came down with ASU. I was doing the color work at the time on their basketball broadcasts, had no idea that it was going down. But it was like 12:15 in the morning when I got a phone call and somebody said, hey, you might want to be aware this is going on. And this was really pre-internet, so it's hard to get information. But that to say, it was a very dark time. It wasn't just a dark day. Point shaving, Arizona State, it did happen. This case where Book Richardson has already been blown out at the U of A, in less than 24 hours. U of A has canceled their media day. That's already been blown up, and they're not going to do that today, which speaks and screams of, we're not going to get anything more than questions for Coach Miller about this. Thus, we're going to try to deflect and soften the blow. The first time Sean is available, if someone in that room says, we're not going to take any questions about anything other than basketball? No, that's not what we're here for. We are not on your payroll. We have a job to do. Okay, that's not how this works. And I kind of anticipate that might be the case. This is where Sean Miller needs to step forward. And if he has to have something written in a prepared statement, some people don't like that. I have no problem with it because it's a very complex situation. If he needs to read something that's got some legal ease in it, I'm fine with that. But he's got to say something, and he's got to say it soon. There's some details around the U of A within this report that I'm not going to go into today because I feel as though, much like the, you know, on the, when you get on the legal side, you don't just automatically run with stuff. I mean, you can, but you shouldn't. There was a situation here, the Hamilton hazing scandal, where I sat on things for 2 weeks and that were published. And I just felt as though, in police reports, partial police reports, I might add, you just don't automatically run on the air and kick it around. But what has got to be known is this. Sean Miller had to have had an idea that there was something going on, in my opinion. It doesn't mean he was complicit in this, but the idea that they're getting these top flight players to always roll in. You know, there's this whole braggadocious thing of we have all these five-star guys rolling through. And I'm the only one, I think, that's sitting over here saying, hello, hello, you guys keep saying that and you haven't won anything. So tone it down a little bit. You're not all that. Every year you're like the biggest disappointment. Your coach is now got the label of the coach that can never win the whole thing. Just relax. You know, I get it. You feel as though you're disrespected. There's nothing else that's going on a major scale other than this basketball team. Well, now you have the FBI checking you out. The guy that's tied closest to Sean is no longer there. So Sean is the guy that needs to speak on this. And the players, I'm sure, are being briefed. The players, I'm sure, are being looked at. The report of Book Richardson and money being put up to try to acquire a player to come, and I'm saying acquire, a player to come to the U of A, speaks that there is somebody within this roster that is part of this. How many others were there? It's a bigger conversation. If there was not the one-and-done rule, and I'm going to talk to Dan Marley about this here in about 15 minutes. If there was not the one-and-done rule in college basketball, would we be having any of this? There'd still be some. To think that this hasn't been happening, you're just not paying attention to the deal. I had a conversation yesterday with someone who's followed sports forever, and they're just kind of follow college basketball from the periphery. And they were stunned that this stuff happens. Like, really? Shoe deals, that's it. Get the kids in shoes early. And you hit on a couple of these kids when they're wearing the shoes when they are out on the basketball court. That's how this has always been. It doesn't matter if it's Sonny Vaccaro. Doesn't matter. It's Phil Knight, Sonny Vaccaro. Shoe wars have been going on forever and ever. My son's with a club basketball team. They have a shoe deal. All the teams that go to the high end of play, they have a shoe deal in the world of basketball. Doesn't matter if it's a 7th grade or a 12-year-old, they have to wear, in some cases, the same gear, same shoes, and they're provided for it. If you're a high-end kid, you get showered with shoes and stuff. So the point on this is the corruption, the bribery, the fraud, the conspiracy, everything around U of A basketball today is not going to get wiped clean today. And when it's the FBI, there's going to be many more layers to this story. Will it distract from the team this coming season? That's what I've gotten from the diehard basketball fan who just says, well, they've got it in for us. No, the FBI doesn't have it in for people. You're confusing yourself with the NCAA, who just doesn't matter in this deal. When we're talking about Auburn, Oklahoma State, USC, Arizona, all yesterday, and Louisville attached to FBI, that's not a good group to be attached to. Okay, it seems as though there's always something going, and I guess Miami of Florida is involved in this as well. There seems to always be something going on with Oklahoma State, Auburn, Louisville, USC, just stuff where there's smoke, there's fire stuff, and now U of A is in the middle of this. And there's always been the whispers of how they get guys to go to Tucson. What is the reason to go to Tucson? Oh, well, you're just picking on us. No, I'm not. It's the FBI, guys. talk to Dan Marley in about 10 minutes on it. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. All things college football. Todd Graham, his view after the win over Oregon. Rich Rodriguez at the U of A. And the Heisman Trophy with Stuart Mandel. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics. On Wednesdays, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports carries this show every day. And, of course, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, 16 airings per week. Appreciate the partnership with GCU. This week, it is Dan Marley on Talk to the Lopes, head basketball coach at GCU. I saw Dan a couple of times in the last week. Saturday, he was watching his son and our Sunday in club basketball. Our kids happen to play on the same club team, not the team, the same club. And last week at the Jerry Colangelo opening of his museum, you look well. And let's just start with the museum and the facility. I had not been over to your new gym. I guess I shouldn't even call it a gym, this new I don't know
it's
even
a
how
palace.
It's a palace. It is. So how much I didn't get the tour, but I heard there's an upstairs that you walk out and you look out over the veranda. Paul Cora was showing me this.
Yeah, it's you know, when I came here, I'd talked to President Mueller. I said eventually we're going to have a basketball practice facility that we can have of our own, and that's come to fruition, and it's beautiful. I mean, you saw the museum, which is connected, which is in not the lobby, but it's the opening of our practice museum, and they did a terrific job with the Jerry Colangelo Museum of kind of a memoir of his life, what he's been able to accomplish all through his life, and they did just a beautiful job. And then leading in that, we have a brand new practice facility that we share with the women's basketball team, and beautiful. And upstairs there are offices where you know, we have great offices, and we do have a balcony where I can a sliding door where I can go out and kind of look at our guys and see what's going on, who's working out, and things like that. So it's a beautiful, beautiful facility, and it really helps in our recruiting, and it just puts us up there with all the other teams.
So the way it works for fans, and my daughter is back there working on her master's, so she was telling me how cool that it is to walk by there, but you have to take a recruit through the museum to get into the basketball offices, correct? I mean, the way it looks to me, that's
well,
one of the ways in.
Yeah, we have different ways to get in, but we would definitely take a recruit through there just to show him the Colangelo Museum and everything he's done. And, you know, when we talk about a guy who he is the most powerful man in basketball throughout the world, what he's been able to do with, you know, the Chicago Bulls, the Phoenix Suns, USA Basketball, the Naismith Hall of Fame, on and on and on, and now here at Grand Canyon with the business school named after him and what he's been able to do there, and the things that he's been able to do for us as far as mentoring me as a coach, as a young coach, as far as in college basketball. And so it's a great recruiting tool to be able to take them through there and just look at what Mr. Colangelo has achieved in his lifetime.
Dan Marley with us. Talk to the Lopes every week. This week it is Dan Marley, the head basketball coach. How's Jerry still mentoring you? Is he still mentoring you, pouring into
you? He is. I talked to him, you know, at least once a week. Either on the phone, and I'll be sitting in my office, and he'll just pop in. He has a lot of responsibility here at the university, as I said, with his business school and with President Mueller. So he'll be on campus quite a bit, and he's always stopping in, popping in, watching practice, looking at practice. He knows our guys personally. They talk to him. They all have his number. So I sit down and talk to him about different things, bouncing ideas off him. The best thing about Mr. Colangelo, he never really tells you what to do. He just gives you suggestions, and he lets you figure it out himself. But for a guy who's done everything and has dealt with every type of player and has seen great players and run organizations, it's really good as a coach to sit there and get his ideas on different situations, how I should handle things, and what he sees out there. Because, as I said, he's seen it all. And he was a really good player himself, so he understands basketball.
I wasn't planning on talking to you about any of this, but in the news cycle, and you cannot comment, obviously, on what's gone on with other programs, okay, and what's happened in the last 24 hours, but it is the 800-pound gorilla in this conversation, so I'm just going to get it out there. How closely do you know your coaches and every move that they do as assistant coaches?
Well, you would hope you know everything, and obviously that's impossible. You know, almost every day since I've been here for the past 4 years, I am told that, you're the CEO of this company, and everything that happens will fall directly on you. You're ultimately responsible for everything. So as a coach, I have to do my best to know exactly not only what all my coaches are doing, what my manager is doing, and the best of my ability, what my players are doing. And, you know, with these NCAA rules, Brad, I hardly see my players. Now, we start practice on Friday. So, you know, it starts the 20 hours a week where I actually be able to get into the gym with these guys and have to be a big part of their lives. But, you know, before that, I only get 2 hours a week with them on the court. So that's, you know, we'll go on a Tuesday from 10 to 11, and we'll go on a Thursday from 10 to 11. And that's about all the interaction I will get with these guys. So to sit there and tell me that I have to be directly involved with these student athletes and know what they're doing 24 hours a day and all that stuff, it's really, really hard because I don't get to see them as much. So I do the best I can to talk to these guys, give them the pitfalls of what's going on, what they need to do, how careful they have to be. And then obviously with my coaching staff, we meet every day and we talk about things, and they understand that anything that they seem to do without my knowledge can fall directly, not only on themselves, but it comes back on me. So they understand that, but it's virtually impossible to know what every coach is doing, and you just got to trust those guys, and you got to instill your values of what, you know, this program's about, what I'm about, and what we want to do, and hopefully they do that with great judgment.
Dan, with the one and done, does it just make what has been in the news cycle for the last 24 hours, and to believe that there aren't other schools that aren't going to come out on this story, I think is naive on anybody's part, but the one and done has just made it so that people are willing to take risks and cut corners. Is that fair to say? This one and done rule has done more.
You know, this is not a secret. This has been done for a long time, and you know, the difference now is that the FBI is involved.
Yep.
And the thing that has really bothered me is you know, the alleged of giving favors to these agents and managers that maybe you can promise a kid that you'll send him to that direction. That's the part that really bothers me. Not that the other stuff doesn't, you know, but this has happened for a long, long time, and people have known about it. So that's what bothers me. And the only thing that's different now is that the FBI is involved, and now it's a criminal action.
You talked to your assistants since this came out yesterday?
Yeah, we've been in meetings, and we're preparing for Friday, so we talk every day. Even when we're not preparing, we're in here every day discussing different things. So we're just like everybody else, you know, looking at it. I'm a huge fan of some of the coaches that have come down, some of the stuff, you know, Sean and those guys. So, you know, we talk about it, and it's a tough thing for college basketball right now. So it'll be interesting in the next couple of days.
Let's move off that then. Dan Marley with us, the head coach at Grand Canyon University. Talk to the Lopes every week on Wednesdays. We partner with the Arizona Republic throughout the week. They carry this as well. AZ Central Sports, sports360az.com. What concerns you most about coming into Friday's workout about your team? Is it health of some players? You may not have seen them play inside and out, as you said earlier. What concerns you most about Friday?
Not really concerned. You know, our health is pretty good. We have one kid that's got a high ankle sprain, but he'll be back. He's missed the last month, but he's scheduled to be back within the week. But we're real healthy. I said this last year going in to our year, we had, I thought, our deepest team, and we're in the first week of practice, we lost three guys to season ending injuries. So I guess my biggest concern is that with the health of our guys and how good we should be, this should be our best team we've ever had and the deepest. We have very talented players at every position and guys that are fighting for different starting positions. So I think it should be a very competitive camp, a very competitive practice until the first game of who's going to get those starting spots. And I guess the biggest concern for every coach is our guys going to stay healthy? And if we do that, we should be really deep, very talented, and have a good year. I mean, we've been working for 4 years now as a coaching staff to prepare for this year now that we're eligible for the tournament, and I think we've done a good job of that. So I'm very excited about our team. We got a great mix of older players. You know, you lose a guy like Dwayne Russell, who's doing great in France. Mm-hmm. Very excited about him. But if you lose a guy like that, usually it's a big blow to the program, and it is because of his culture. But to bring in a guy like Casey Benson, who, you know, won three state championships here, was at Oregon, was a huge part of what their success, went to the Final Four last year, to have him step in and be a point guard, you know, fills that position nicely for us. And to have Josh Braun back, his senior year, everything he's been through, he's lost 15 pounds, looks unbelievable. Wow. I expect him to have a great year. And guys like Oscar and Fifi, who had tremendous freshman years last year, a year older, and then some really talented freshmen that I'm excited about. So the mixture that we have is really good. Now it's just whether we can put it together and play the way we want to play. And our chemistry is good, great kids. And in my aspect and in my experience, when your chemistry is good and everybody likes each other, you're going to have a good year. And we have great kids and everybody really enjoys each other.
How about your style of play now that you do have your whole group here and you are going into the tournament this year? Are you able to do some different things that we have not seen out of your teams in the past?
Yeah, you know, we'll play the same style. We really like to be high-paced, right, pro-style offense, get up and down. But this year, which we didn't have last year, we really should have a good post presence. So we have some, you know, two young kids that freshmen are coming, are 6'10". Kerwin Smith, who's going to be in his redshirt junior year, has really improved at our post position. Keontae Vernon, another senior who was really good for us last year. So I think we'll be able to throw the ball in the post a little more, score inside, which takes a lot of pressure off of guys like Josh and Casey. We always don't have to make jump shots. So I think we can score in the paint a little bit more. Rebounding-wise, we should be pretty good. But just overall, height, I like to call it an airport team. When we walk through the airport now, we're going to look good because we got a lot of guys with size and pretty imposing-looking people.
Yeah, I walked through that airport team, those two freshmen, at the other night at the Colangelo event. It was like, who are these guys and where do they come from? So
yeah, they got a chance to be really good. Yeah. Now they're freshmen. But talent-wise, I mean, we beat out two high major teams to get those guys. So I'm excited about them. They're very, very good. They got a lot of skill. But as freshmen, they'll struggle throughout the year, and we'll rely on our older guys to kind of push them through. But I'm excited about the players they could be.
Good visiting with you. I'll see you down the road. Thanks.
All right, Brad, always. Thank you.
You too. There's Dan Marley with us, Thunder Dan, head coach, Grand Canyon University. Really looking forward to the start of the basketball season at GCU. And that is Talk to the Lopes. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.